kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Blessed by God's presence, his word, and as we open our hearts for the seed of that word to be planted into our hearts, because we know that faith comes by hearing that word. Praise God. Well, I have a title today for this teaching, and the title is The Choice of Life or Death. The choice of life or death. What I think we're not always aware of is that every day in our walk of faith, we have that choice, that decision to sow to life or to sow to death. And because life, our walk is like this. This is why God regularly calls us into his presence to hear his word, to come together in fellowship wherever we are around the world. And we know that God is using the computer technology in which to do this, because all of this is to help and encourage us that we sow to the law of life and not to the law of death. And this is very important. And I want us to consider this today as we talk about this. And we're going to open up with this in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want us to look at verses 11 to 20 of the book of Deuteronomy. And we've looked at this before, but it's very interesting in the light of what God has presented before Israel in her walk. And God, as we know, has raised up Moses, who has given the law to Israel. And now Israel is beginning to hear how they are to walk before God and what God requires. Similarly, the same with us. The same principle is there. And we take it up from verse 11. And here he says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off." You know, that verse is quite important for us to grasp with what God is about to give. He's saying that these commands that I'm giving today, it's not too mysterious, it's not too difficult. You do not need a theological degree, nor is it far off. So in other words, he's saying, I'm with you. God's presence was in the tabernacle, in the holies of holies, and he's saying, I'm there, I'm with you, I'm leading, I'm guiding you, I've raised you a man, his name is Moses, it's not far off. So there, God has not made it hard for us. And then he goes on, it is not in heaven that should say, is it not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that it we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us to bring it to us, that we might hear it and do it? So he's also saying you don't have to travel. You don't have to go overseas. You don't have to buy this or whatever it is. Freely you have received, freely give. That is the principle of God's mercy and grace, that the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. So God is revealing the revelation of his word, which is given to Israel. And when God gives revelation, it is near you, it's in your mouth, it's in your heart, for the purpose that you live it, you do it. The same with the new birth, when we become born again. And he says, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. So there is the free will of man. We today still have that free will, and we can offer up our free will. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he says, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So he says, he opens up here, he says, in that I command you today, first he starts with the love of God. Love the Lord your God. Love him, and everything else flows from it. So there he's revealing relationship, even to Israel. But if your hearts turn away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish and shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So we see that what God is giving in the way of the law here, this is so important what he's giving here with regard to this choice of life and death. He says, I even call heaven and earth as a witness. He means, in other words, all his angelic realm. They are watching and listening to this, what God is saying. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So there we very clearly see, and this is why our confession will tell how much you value God's word. You will know by what comes out of your mouth in your everyday walk. You will know whether you value the word of God that God is giving us to be able to obey, to walk and trust him. You will know by what comes out of your mouth. Now, it's interesting in verses 1 to 10 of this same chapter that the Lord was with Israel, and he's showing them that the road of obedience pays off. It seems today that very few ministers dare to use that word obey. It's probably not politically correct, like so much today that we have to contend with, but the Bible's absolutely clear. The Lord makes it clear. He's speaking to us as children. He's revealing himself as our Father. So it's that child-father relationship. And as we've read through verses 11 to 20, he opens up revealing that to love God leads to life. And this is why we make so much about relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because in relationship, in love, you will obey. You want to obey. You always want to please obey the one that you love, because that's the only way it's ever going to work. Otherwise, you will hear it in a sort of legalistic way, in a harsh way, and it would just cause us to react. You see, Israel's rebellion was always the problem. You see, many like the idea of God, but to obey him, that stops the commitment. And many have these ideas of God, and many who profess Christ come calling themselves Christians, but they want God on their own terms. And it never happens. Israel, in many ways, like the idea of God, like the idea of being chosen out of all nations and the blessings and the promises, and yes, we'll do it, but in her heart, they wanted to worship God in their own strength, in their time and their way. And it never works. And that principle today still is with us in Christendom. You probably know people who call themselves Christians who have this problem as well. And so obedience was put to the test right back. And where do we see where it was put to the test? In the Garden of Eden. There is the principle. God said, you can have everything. We will fellowship. Just don't touch the tree of knowledge of death and life. Don't touch it. And the very thing he said, don't touch, they did. And they were deceived. They were listening to a different word, not the words of God, but a counterfeit. And of course, it was the serpent beguiled them. And there is the problem. That is the problem that we have. This is what we at times contend with. This is where we at times are faced with decisions. Do I go my way or do I obey and trust God? That principle doesn't change for the Christian. Right there when God created Adam and Eve, the same principle for them. It was the same principle for Jesus, and we're told that he was obedient unto the death of the cross. And so we likewise walk with that as well, but our obedience will only ever happen when it's motivated out of love. The love of God. So it's so important that we love God first with all our heart, soul, mind and being, because then from that basic principle, everything else will flow. But there are those who don't really love God in that way. And so eventually they will go the way of their heart, for their heart still lusts for the world and the idols, the idolatry of the world. As I've always said, you will be where your affection, your heart is. And that is a clear sign to us. And if we find that our hearts are looking more to other things than to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to do something about that before it's too late. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. David knew his problem, and he knew the only way he could ever please God and obey God is that God touches his heart. That's why most of the world is not interested in Christianity. It's not interested in God. Their interest is in other things. And of course, this is where the mercy of God touches our life, because it's God first loved us. We wouldn't bother otherwise. And as God touches our heart. And so as God chose Israel here, he clearly reveals to them, you have a way of walking of life or death. And every day when we walk and face that day, we have the decision whether we sow to the law of life or to the law of death. We have a choice. And if we find ourselves sowing to the law of death, then if you love God, then something cries out in your heart, Lord, I'm sowing in a wrong way. Save me, help me. Help me to turn around and embrace the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Now, if we mean that, God will work that within us. Because we are tested in these areas. As we preach so often, God is going to test our faith. Because in the testings of our faith, it helps us also to know where we stand. And what does he say in verse 17? But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear, and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. So if your heart begins to turn away, it says you can't hear. And that is scary. There are many who can hear a sermon being preached, but they're not really hearing. It's fearful. Why? Because their hearts are elsewhere. They're not loving God with all their heart, soul, mind, and being. And that's why the word's so clear. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me, the Gospel of John tells us. It's not rocket science, this. This is hearing from the heart. That is where we hear. We so think our hearing is with our two ears. It's more than that. Of course, our ears cause us to hear. Of course they do. That's the instrument. But the real hearing is in the heart. Now, Isaiah was called, as you know, he responded to God's call. And listen to what God said to Isaiah. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And let's take it from verse 8 of chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who shall go for us? Then I said, Here I am, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. And that is how God uses you in your calling and your ministry. You hear God, I'm available, Lord, I've heard, I'm ready. I'm ready to do whatever you want of me. He heard the voice of God. It's that hearing again in the heart. That is how you're called to ministry. That is how you're called to share, to witness, and so on. It's that principle. And listen what the Lord says here. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. And that healing is wholeness in mind, body, and spirit. And then I said, Lord, how long? And he says, till the cities are laid waste and the houses are without man, because God is judging. Isaiah was called in ministry and foretold that you are to minister, you are to share with this people, this rebellious people, but they will not hear. Their eyes are blind, their hearts are dull of hearing. God already forewarned Isaiah the state of Israel, the condition she's in. And so with the chapters that lead up, it leads to God judging, which he did, and then it opens up towards the end with Messiah that is coming, who would bring salvation, bring grace and mercy and forgiveness. But that was his ministry. And in many ways, a man who is called to the fivefold ministry, whether an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, gets an insight of that. God gave me an insight to that. When he called me, he led me to that, to prepare me that few will hear, want to hear. Now you can go the broad way if you want, which a lot of ministries and gospel ministries and organizations do, but they water down the gospel. And the people go because they give them what they want to hear. But if you are obedient to God and to his word, then you see these principles, you see these things come up. Narrow is the way, few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and many there be that go that way to destruction. That is what it is. And even a minister has to decide whether he wants to go the road of life or the road of death. And so God is going to reveal to Isaiah that judgment will come upon Israel, particularly upon idolatrous man. And Judah has sinned when he was called. The surrounding nations, they've all sinned. And he says the whole earth has sinned. Even the stars, the heavens are not clean in his sight, it says. And it has to be judged. But God in his mercy will send a saviour. And he did. And that is why, brothers and sisters, you and I are here today in fellowship by the grace and mercy of God. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And here the apostle takes up what God was giving to Isaiah. And let's start from verse 1 of Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So that is the state of Israel, the Jews, at the time of Christ and the apostle. They're zealous, but they're not zealous for knowledge. Had they been zealous for knowledge, they would not have crucified their Messiah. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, having not submitted to the righteousness of God. So here it is, what I said at the beginning. They want to follow God on their terms. And we have to be on our guard with this, because at times we have fallen short of this. And this is what they're doing. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend unto heaven, that is to bring Christ from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. So God has put his words within us. That is one of the clear signs if you are truly born again, not of the flesh, but of the spirit. If you are truly born again, there is a great hunger and desire for God's word. Why? Because he has put it in your heart. That is part of the gift of the new birth, salvation. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Notice the emphasis in the heart. Whatever is in the heart is what you will speak. This is why I said at the beginning, your confession will tell you how much you value and love God's word by what comes out of your mouth. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. And he says, then there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, the same Lord over all, and so on, because he's speaking now about being born again. And it doesn't matter what nationality you are, what background, what colour, what creed, we're now all one in Christ Jesus, because the new birth in Christ places his word within our hearts. In other words, he changes this heart of stone to a heart of flesh, so that we want this word. We are desperate for this word. Why is that? Because this word is food to us. It's spiritual food. It's that manna. We live, we survive, we partake of this, we eat of this, so that we can sow to the law of life and not the law of death. And you will know whether you're sowing to the law of life or the law of death by what comes out of your mouth. Your confession gives it away. This is why we line up our confession with God's word. If God says it, that is it. Don't question. Don't analyze. If this is what the Lord says, then that is what I confess. Because my confession is his confession. His confession is my confession. That is what it means to be one with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, Israel needs the gospel, because it says in 1 to 13, what we have read here. So it says, that Paul said to the Jew first in his ministry. He would always, if he could get to the Jews, he would. And the reason being, of course, is we know because of the revelation that Israel had. There's going to be more judgment on them. Did you know that various countries will have different judgments? Some countries, did you know, around the world are more blinded than others? That's a result of sin. And so there are some nations who have received. That's why I say so often about the UK. We pray for this country. We pray for the government, so forth, because of the light of the gospel we have had over the centuries. This nation's eyes were open considerably compared to the Far East and so on. So we have to consider that, you see. That is the sovereignty of God. And that's why the power of God's word is imperative to our salvation and the blessings in this life. And we know this by the parable of the sower. As I've said to you so many times, one of the most important parables Jesus ever spoke. Because that is revealing how the word and what the word does in your life. And the only seed that goes in the heart that's prepared, as ground has to be prepared in which to receive seed. You can't just sow it straight away. You has to be prepared. And then the seed is sown at the right season, the right time. And how is your heart prepared spiritually? By the trials that you go through and the testings. The trials and the testings in your life is what works that spiritual soil in which the seed of this word is sown. That's why I said to you on Sunday from Acts, we must, through much trial and tribulation, make it into the kingdom of heaven. It is trial. It is testing. And it is for the very purpose, because that is how God gets the seed of his word planted into your life, so that you have a faith that you lack, stand and live by. And this is why God is working with our faith, where we don't question anymore these promises. If God has made these promises, which we read here, that's it. I'm not going to question. I'm not going to argue. God has said it. God has said he will meet my needs. God has said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. Don't try and analyze what all these things are. All these things are what you read in God's word and the blessings of his word. And let God be God. And how is he going to work that? By the trials and the tests that you go through. And by simply putting God first, the kingdom of God first, and God will be faithful. Because that is what covenant is about. You have made covenant with Christ, and Christ has made covenant with you. And it's a covenant of faithfulness, commitment, just like a marriage. And you don't look for any other lovers. You are satisfied. You're sufficed with your relationship with God. It's enriched. It's growing. You're falling more and more in love with one another. That's what it's about. And yet we make it so difficult, don't we? And we're so distracted by other things and the things of this world. But the parable of the sower is one of the greatest parables that Jesus gave. And he took the disciples to one side to expound it, to show them what it meant. You see, most true ministers experience a similar. When you've got ministry today that is not preaching this word as it should. And it waters it down and so on. What is it presenting to its hearers? Not the law of death, the roadway to death, not the road to life. Because the road to life costs, and few there be that find it. Oh, it's easier to compromise and to preach and teach the people what they want to hear. But they'll never make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's the fearful thing. I always know when a sermon is of God, because I can't keep it in my flesh. That's how I know. It can't be done. And that sermon causes me to cry out to God, Lord, help me, have mercy. Help me to live that which I've heard, because it can't be done in the natural. That is a sermon. That is the word of God. But too often today, they're tickling the ears of the people. God knows we can't save ourselves. God knows we can't keep this word. God knows that we're idolatrous. We'll always look elsewhere, or we'll look to the world. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. But he's made it possible through Jesus Christ. And that is why we keep our eyes on him, and we allow the Spirit to baptize us, empower us, so that we can walk this walk. It can't be achieved any other way. And the only hope of salvation is to those who obey. And that is what it is at the end of the day. As I say so often, God brings us here twice a week for the very purpose to work obedience in us. That's the ultimate goal. And I don't have a problem with that. I want God to do that. That's exactly what I want. Because when you obey God, you feel the Father's heart. There is just something there when you obey God. You just sense the Father's heart that is pleased. You're recognizing, you're understanding. It's what I want of you. And he'll give back in abundance, which he always does. Because our Heavenly Father is so gracious, so generous, so giving. And God knows, as I bring this to a conclusion, God knows our circumstances. He knows your circumstances. He knows mine. He knows the walk that I have each day. He knows your walk. And we can't make any excuses. We cannot make any excuses. Well, Lord, you know my situation. I don't have much time for you. I've got family matters, I've got children, I've got a job, I've got this, that and everything. No, you don't do that one with God. God doesn't make a mistake. If you put him first, he'll work supernaturally through your circumstances, through your family life, your marriage, your children and whatever. You will just see supernaturally how God gives you that time for him. When you're in the car driving, you can talk with him. Or you're walking in the street, you can be in communication with him. That is how he works it. God always wants to be in our mind and thinking 24/7. Not just when we come into this room or whatever it would be. And that's why the baptism of the Spirit is so vital for this. Very often, I'm just speaking in tongues in my mind, my spirit communicating with God. But people around me don't know I'm doing that. But the spirit within me does. You see? And so we begin then to see these promises. And as we preach and embrace these promises, so they start to become our confession. And when we hear a bad confession or fear coming out of our mouth, then we correct it. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. Love casteth out fear. But so often we can speak it. But you've got to deal with that, because what you have spoken, that is not life at that point. That is death. That is contrary to God's word. So you have to correct it. And sometimes we're going to have to ask God, Lord, make me sensitive to what comes out of my mouth, so that if it does come out wrong, then I can correct it and change it. And if you want that, God will do that, because God wants our confession lining up with his word. And that's why I've called this teaching today, The Choice of Life or Death. And that is what God was presenting in Deuteronomy 30 to Israel under Moses' ministry. You have a choice. You can walk the way of life or the way of death. That is where God leaves our free will for that very purpose. And the reason being is because God doesn't want robots. We are human beings with a soul, and we're made in the image of God. And he wants us from our hearts to follow him and obey him. The choice of life or death. Father, we thank you again for your word. Help us, Lord, to confess that positive, confess your word, your promises. We know that we cannot do this in ourselves. But Lord, as we call upon you, you will work that within us both to will do for your good pleasure. And Father, we thank you that our faith worketh by love. And Lord, whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing in trial, tribulation or sickness, may our confession line up with your word. And so, Lord, I pray you'll be with my brothers and sisters. Bless, preserve, keep them. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Give your travelling mercies over them. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Constancy, follow.